Tonight, we are in Transformers, our big Transformer here series here at Celebration Church. How many of you know that God is big time into transforming? And He's the real Transformer, and so we're in a series. We kicked it off last week. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get the CD or DVD or whatever. But we're talking about how that God has kind of set up in His church four arenas where if we participate in those four arenas that have to do with the Great Commission, if we participate in those four arenas, we put ourselves in an incredible position to be transformed week in and week out. And I'm telling you, if you understand church and how God has designed church, and we're going to look a little bit deeper into that principle today and the why behind the what. In other words, when you come to church, and most of you, when you come to church here at Celebration Church for that hour and 5 minutes, like the why behind the what and what God wants to do, if we come in with the right attitude and have the right heart and we put ourselves in a position to really be transformed by God, I'm telling you that coming to church week in and week out can be one of the most powerful experiences in your life. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas, not just now and then, not just, you know, if the message really relates to you or not. I'm telling you that God wants to do something incredible on the inside of all of us week in and week out. But a lot of it depends on our attitude and our willingness not to be a spectator, but to be a participator. And this is the big thought today. The big thought, and you hear us say this all the time at Celebration Church about, you know, encouraging you not just to be a spectator, but be a participator. The big thought is this: participation leads to transformation. Participation leads to transformation. And if we will come in, and I'm going to talk about for a little bit, you know, I'm not trying to get you into a style. I'm not trying to mess with your personality. I know that we're all at different places and from different backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. But if you'll come in and you'll have the right heart attitude and kind of approach the weekend service with the right mindset, I'm telling you, man, God will do something incredible. God has designed, this is the principle of the Sabbath, okay? In the New Testament, the principle of the Sabbath is that once a week, you choose a weekend service, you know, and we got like 18 of them here at Celebration Church. You choose a weekend service, you rest from your labors for that hour and 5 minutes, and you come in and you focus on God. And if you do that, incredible things are going to happen. Because how many of you know, and I mean, some of us, this is what happens. We go out, like many of us, like this past week, you went out there and come on, you just got goofy. You know what I'm saying? You went out there and you did some things and you got all goofy and you're wondering if God loves you or you feel condemned or, you know, whatever the thing is. And so God has designed church where you can come in, you can experience His love, God can remind you that you're His child and He's got great things for you and that you hadn't blown it, and He wants you to come in, He wants you to have peace, He wants you to have joy so that you can have the strength to go out and serve Him and be everything that God's called you to be. How many of you know that's good news? That's good news. So if you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And we talked about last week, Colossians 1:28. Here's the four things. It says, and we proclaim Him. I'm going to read Colossians 1:28, but if you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16. I'm going to get there in a minute. It says, and we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present everyone complete in Christ. That means mature. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. And so here we see the four things. This is kind of the Apostle Paul giving a little bit more detail to the Great Commission about go and making disciples. He talks about four things. He talks about proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming Him. He talks about admonishing, he talks about teaching, and he talks about people being mature or growing in maturity in their relationship with Christ. That's what that word complete means. These are the four arenas. This is what we do at Celebration Church. I can relate to the Apostle Paul. These four arenas here. This is what it's all about. This is why he says, I strive, I work on these four things with all of God's power on the inside of me, because it's these four things. If people will participate in these four things, God can do an incredible work in their life, and they're going to be everything that God's called them to be. So that's why we're talking about the four things. And each of these four things has an arena or a practical environment where you can walk that out. And so we're on the first one. We're on proclaiming him, and the practical environment that you walk that out is in the weekend services here at Celebration Church. There are other things that are very important in your walk with God. We're going to talk about those, deeper discipleship and serving and fellowship and connection and those types of things. But guess what? That doesn't really happen in the weekend service. The weekend service is not a one-stop shop where all those things can happen in the context of this hour and 5 minutes. We have purposes. We have environments. We have arenas for those things, for things to happen. But in the weekend service, what it's all about right here, right now, it's all about proclaiming Jesus Christ. And we talked about last week, what that means is that's not just with our mouths, but when we come in to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, we come in and we experience the Lordship of Christ. That means that we come in, we celebrate God, we experience Jesus. Here at Celebration Church, we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we hear the Word of God, and we come in and we experience God in a powerful way, a way that's not spooky, but a way that is real, a way that is relevant, and a way that if you participate, I'm telling you, your life will be changed. Let me tell you, do you want to know my secret agenda? Do you want to know what am I scheming behind the scenes for all of you when you come to church on the weekend? What am I plotting? What am I planning? You know, what's my real agenda? Let me tell you what I'm trying to do. Let me tell you what the staff, what we're all just constantly, what our secret scheme is for all of you. We want you to connect with God. That is what it's all about in the hour and 5 minutes, in a real way, in a non-spooky way, a way where you can come in, whether you're an unbeliever or whether you've been walking with God for 50 years, that you can come in and you can connect with God and you can have an experience with God and you can be transformed from the inside out every week. That's why we're constantly, that's why we have traditional service and late night service and the way that we do everything to remove distractions and to appeal to different demographics of people and all those kind of things. We're constantly striving, constantly laboring to set up an environment for an hour and 5 minutes where you can come in and you can have a real connection with God. Not a religious ritual, not just going through the motions, but man, you can come in and you can really connect with God. So everything that we do, that's kind of the design here at Celebration Church. And so just kind of reviewing what we talked about last week, and I want to add one, and then we're going to get to this scripture. But as we proclaim him, here's what that means, okay? We talked about celebrating the goodness of God. Celebrating the goodness of God, that puts us in the right frame of mind, right believing. In other words, when you come through those doors, when you come in, I know you have a lot of problems. Don't try not to think about those. In other words, for an hour and 5 minutes, if you could come in these doors and you could go into God mode and you could focus on God, not on your problems, not on your worries, not on your challenges, not on your struggles, but if you could come in and you could focus on God, watch this. No matter what you're going through, you can come in and you can celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ has forgiven you all of your sins, past, present, and future. You can come in and celebrate the fact that you have eternal life in Christ Jesus and that you're going to live for all eternity with God. You can come in and celebrate the fact that God blesses you not because you're good, but because he's good. You can come in and celebrate the fact that God doesn't reward us according to what we deserve. We come in and we celebrate the goodness of God, and that puts us in the right frame of mind or right believing. That's good preaching. Okay, and so, do you see, and for some of us, watch this, for some of us, this celebrating part, it can be a little, depending on your tradition, it can be a little uneasy. But let me try to explain this celebrating part. If you look, God is the one who orchestrated celebration. Okay, not sports. We celebrate in sports, and that's a good thing. But I'm telling you, over sports, over everything else, God wants us to celebrate him. Right out of the Word of God. But for some people, depending on where you are in your walk with God, you're just at a different place. And some that times that can feel a little bit uncomfortable. I'm not talking about you conforming to a certain personality type. I'm not talking about, you know, you're a real reserved kind of person, and all of a sudden, you know, you just come in next week and you come down to the front row and you're just like, yes, yes. I'm not talking about that. See, some of you, you sat by a person like that this morning, and you're going to go sit in a different seat next weekend because you want to get away from that freak. You know what I'm saying? But let me explain. How many of you, let me explain this concept of celebrating God and why everybody needs to be free, not in a distracting way, but why everyone needs to be free. And the Bible talks about clapping hands and lifting hands and different expressions and things like that. But why everybody needs to be free to do that from the sincerity of their heart, and why that's so important to God. Because it's this way, as people celebrate Jesus, that God puts us in the right frame of mind and prepares our hearts to receive His word. So it's very important that there's freedom in that area for people. How many of you have ever been to like a sports game with like a fan of that team, but you weren't a fan? You know what I'm saying? You've ever done that? You know, like you go to, let's say you're not a Jags fan, okay, but you go to a Jags game and this person is a huge Jags fan. Why? They're in Jacksonville. They love Jaguars football. They participated in things. They participated in football. They understand that. And you go to that game and that person's just going crazy and all that, and you're just kind of like, man, it's great. Was that 7 points? How many points was that? You know, and you're kind of like, you kind of understand what's going on. These people are real excited about it, but you aren't excited. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you live with someone like that? You just don't get it, why they're so excited. But I think of like my favorite college team. You see, like, I went to school there. I participated in the school. I played football, not at the college, but at the high school there. I participated in that. My culture's there. I have roots there. I have an emotional attachment there. I've participated in that community. Are you hearing where I'm going with this? And therefore, because of those emotions and those ties in my heart, when I go to follow that team, there's some passion there. There's some energy there. But when I go to hang out with the Hillsong gang in Australia, and I go over there, and they're all fired up about the Cup of Origin and the black shirts and the Aussies, and it's the rugby deal and the Australian rules, and they're all going crazy, you know, and they're shaking me, and they're like, did you see that? And I'm just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can kind of relate to what they're relating to because I have a favorite team, but the emotional attachment will very much in the same way, but really much more powerful. That's how it is with people who celebrate God. At one time in your life, what happened? Jesus Christ came in, you received Jesus, all of your sins were forgiven. And you, God came in on the inside and you started experiencing that emotional and spiritual attachment with your Savior and your Creator, God. Then you begin to participate in the Word. You begin to understand, wow, I was on my way to hell, now I'm on my way to heaven. Wow, God loves me no matter what. Wow, Jesus forgave me all of my sins. You start to experience peace and satisfaction and joy and all those things. Do you see? And so what happens is when you come into church service, it's very easy for you to, man, reciprocate thanksgiving back to God for what He's done in your life. You see, but it's okay if you're not a believer yet. You're going to be, I'm believing you're going to surrender your life to Jesus in 16 minutes. That's when the service is going to end. In 16 minutes, you're going to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is everybody needs to be comfortable with celebrating God where they're at. That's very, very important. And when that's stifled, God can't do what He wants to do. Once again, I'm not talking about you, you know, becoming, you know, just a crazy a nuisance worshiper, you know, going crazy, because you shouldn't be a distraction to somebody else's worship. Can I have a good amen to that? But you should be able to come in and express yourself. And if there's not freedom for that, you know, in fact, I can remember, I don't know if this has anything to do with the story, but to the mess, but I can remember when I was a young boy, I went to this church, and I'm not dishing any kind of specific church, but I went to this church. And there was no celebration. I mean, the only time that you celebrated is when you left. Like, great, it's finally over. I'm out of here, dude. I mean, which was just kind of odd for me. Because, you know, I'm trying, okay, is God, why is everybody so happy when they leave? You know, that's the only celebrate. Like, it's finally over. I'm out, man. But I can remember, it was so, there was no celebration. It was very quiet. And I'm all for quiet. Now, there's a time and for quietness, especially in your personal time with God. I mean, you look throughout all eternity, God's very specific. He gives 30 minutes for silence in heaven. It says that in the book of Revelation. And that's a joke. Okay, so anyways. You're like, is that all? It does say heaven was silent for 30 minutes, but then they bust it out again. So, but it was so, and so, I don't know, I was about 10, and finally, it was just so quiet. I couldn't take it anymore. And so I looked down at my buddy. We were like 10 years old, and they had these huge hymnals, man. I mean, these suckers, hard cover. I'm talking the kind that if you, boom, it would like, boom, 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 boom. And it was so quiet. Everybody was being so quiet. I just couldn't take it anymore. And so I looked down at my buddy, and I was like, get the hymnal, you know. And he got it, and we opened it up in the middle, and we had it like this. And I was like, three. Wham! And I'm telling you, it sounded like a bomb went off in the building, man. Boom, boom, echo. And everyone was like, I mean, the whole 500 people all stared at me. Man, my dad was so mad at me, man. So I don't know if that has anything to do with my message, but maybe if they would have just been given, and I understand, I'm not talking, look, we have a traditional style service here at Celebration Church. I'm not talking about styles, but what I'm talking about is God has created us, all of us, in our hearts where we need the freedom to come in and celebrate Him and give Him thanks. Can I have an amen to that? So no matter how reserved you are in your heart, we celebrate the goodness of God. This leads to right believing. The second thing, experiencing fellowship with God. This leads to right standing. We talked about how the Holy Spirit, once we celebrate the goodness of God, then the Holy Spirit comes in. He's here, the kingdom of God, the Lordship, proclaiming Jesus, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit then starts to convince you of your right standing with God, that God does love you, even though you've made mistakes, that you're not condemned. And that leads to a peace. And then that leads to a joy. Now you have the confidence. You understand, man, God's for me. God loves me. All those kind of things. That leads to a joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it is that strength, talking about how we can get goofy, it is that strength that we need when you go out there this week and you're faced with temptation. What is going to give you the strength for your yes to be yes and your no to be no? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that joy combined with the power of God's word, that is a powerful combination for transformation. And it all starts, ooh, I got a rhyme. And it all starts with participation that came from transformation, combination. All right, so look. So then invite, so it's right believing, right standing, inviting others to a relationship with God, that leads to right living. That's where we get outward. We're focused on God. We're focused on others, loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, and strength. Our neighbor is ourself. And then the fourth thing here, hearing God's word and putting it into practice. And here's where we get into right doing. But it is in that order. This is the weekend service when we come to proclaim God. If you come in here and you have the mindset that you're not worthy, that, you know, God's against you, that you're condemned, if you have that kind of mindset, that's going to trickle down and you're not going to be able to really take in God's word and put it into practice like He wants you to do with it. So it's so important. We talk about hearing God's word. And when we talk about hearing God's word, that has to do with the preparation of our hearts. Because this morning, probably most of you are listening, or maybe all of you are listening because you kind of have to. You're like captured audience, you know what I'm saying? So many times we're all listening, but not all of us are hearing. See, hearing is something spiritual. Hearing has to do with the preparation of our heart. And that's why the weekend service, celebrating, experiencing fellowship with God and worship and all that, those kind of things prepare our hearts so that God's word can come in and do what he wants it to do. So look at this. We're going to look at kind of a microcosm of a church service here, right? So I can use that word like microcosm. That's like my big word of the day. I used it on accident at 8:30. It was just plugged in the recesses of my brain. So it went over. So we're microcosming it here today at Thessalonians 5:16. Okay, so watch this. Right believing, right standing, right living, right doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. So look at this. This is the context of a church service here. What is the first thing we do? The Apostle Paul says what? We rejoice always. That word, what that mean? That word means is celebrate with joy focused on God. It talks about being joyful always, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you experienced. Rejoice always. In other words, we come in and we begin to celebrate the goodness of God. Then he goes on to say, pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, every day of your life, you're constantly praying. If you did that, you couldn't eat, you couldn't drink, you couldn't sleep. But what this is talking about constant communion with God. This is what we do for an hour and 5 minutes here. It's constant communion with God to give you the opportunity to connect with him. Look at the next thing it says there. It says, give thanks in everything, not for everything, because not everything's good. But you can give thanks in everything. How can we do that? Because we can always give thanks for the mercy of God. We can always give thanks that Jesus is good. We can always give thanks that all of our sins are forgiven. We can always give thanks that we're on our way to heaven. We can always give thanks that if God be for us, who can be against us? We can always give thanks that God's going to cause everything to work for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. There's always things we can give thanks for when we are focusing on the goodness of God and not our problems. So look at this. Now this is where people lose it. Look. So look at all this stuff, all this goodness and joy and communion with God and giving thanks. It says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what God's will is when you come to church? This is it. Celebrate his goodness. Rejoice, having fellowship with the Holy Spirit that produces peace and joy in your life so that you can have a strength to go out and serve him like he wants you to serve him. And that's why the very next verse in verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Why? Because when you come into a weekend service, guess what the Holy Spirit's trying to do? He's trying to get you to rejoice. He's trying to get you to give thanks. He's trying to keep you in constant communion with God so that he can convince you of your right standing, that God loves you and produce peace and produce joy. This is what the Holy Spirit's trying to do on the inside of us. And if we resist that, guess what? We're stifling or quenching what the Holy Spirit wants to do on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is here to convince us that God loves us and give us the peace and the joy that we need to go out and put God's word into practice gladly and joyfully. Can I have a good amen to that? So then it goes on to say here, look, it says, do not despise prophecies. Now here we get into the word. Here we get into hearing the word of God and putting it into practice. It says, do not despise prophecies. That word there means inspired messages. In other words, now that you have right believing and right standing and your heart's prepared and all these good things, don't resist the inspired message from the word of God, because now we get into things where it does say, do this, do that. Come on, forgive one another, give, have mercy. Put these things aside. Avoid sexual immorality. All these things. Here comes the commandments from God that we don't do in order to become, but because we are the children of God, therefore we need to act like it. And this is, obedience is a huge key to being successful in our relationship with God, to being successful in life. So God's saying, okay, don't resist this now. Here comes the word. Then it goes on to say, look, test all things, hold fast to what is good. In other words, obviously, everything comes from the word of God. We test that, and everything from God is good. And then the last thing, now it says, abstain from every form of evil. Do you see that the abstaining from evil or the obedience, do you notice how that is the last thing in the list, not the first? The first thing is to rejoice in the goodness of God. Know that God loves you. Know that God's for you. Give thanks in all things. Then when your heart's prepared and you're in the right frame of mind, guess what? Then the Word of God can come in and begin to transform you from the inside out so that you can go out there and be obedient and do everything that God's called you to do. That is good preaching, man, and that will help you. That will help you. Too many of us, it's like it's the opposite. It's like abstaining from evil. That's the first thing. That's not the first thing, because God knows you're not going to have the strength for your yes to be yes and your no to be no. If you're in that kind of frame of mind, you need to know that God loves you and that God's for you and that your sins are forgiven and God's on your side and there's great things for your life. And that's going to produce the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, where your righteousness, right standing with God, that gives you peace, man. You know that you're on your way to heaven. That's going to produce a joy in your life where you can serve the Lord with gladness. And we come in here, Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then you receive His word, knowing that God is for you and that God loves you. And then you can go out there and overcome the challenges in your life. And we do it in a life-giving, we do it in a life-giving, fun way. That's why we're all about fun here at Celebration Church. Jesus said this: if we love Him, we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So how are you going to do that? You need to come into a weekend service and guess what? Focus on the goodness of God. And that's going to cause that love to come up for God. And all of a sudden, the commandments of the Word of God, they don't seem burdensome. They don't seem like have-tos. All of a sudden, they seem like want-tos, because you don't want to mess up all the peace and all the joy and all the satisfaction that you feel on the inside. That's good stuff, man. So watch this. I'm closing with this verse. This is huge. Okay, so here's the transforming. Here's hearing the word. But watch this. This is the number one transforming scripture in the Bible, and you hear it all the time. But boy, it's so important to read this in context, because the first part of these passages is so important. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Here's the transforming scripture. I therefore urge you, brothers, look at this, in view of God's mercy. In other words, right believing, right standing, with the right view of God's mercy, that God loves you, that God's for you, that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, that God blesses you because He's good, not because you're good. We walk by the grace of God. You are a child of God. Therefore, act like it in view of God's mercy. Now he goes on to say, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Once again, now fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Talking about that. Then it says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Everybody say, be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve. God, this is huge, man. This is huge. If I only had another 5 minutes to explain it, but I can't. But this is so important. That's why it says, then you will be able, if you don't have the view of God's mercy, if you don't have this foundation of grace that God loves you and God's for you and all of your sins are forgiven, you're not going to have the right mindset to begin to understand what God's will is. And it goes on to say, watch this, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. In other words, the Word of God comes in and begins to transform you, and you begin to understand what God's will is for your life, and guess what? That it's good. In other words, you like it. Man, this is good stuff. God's will, God's Word, these principles I'm putting into practice, this is good. Guess what it says next? It's pleasing. In other words, not only pleasing to God, it's pleasing to you. You like it. It's a want-to, man. This pleases you. It makes you happy. It makes you satisfied. This obeying God and allowing His word to come in and transform us. It's good. It's pleasing. And guess what? It's not only that. In other words, it not only feels good. It's not only working on the inside of you. His word's not only transforming your life, but guess what? It's perfect. If you could come up with 1,000 scenarios of what you wanted your life to be like, I'm telling you, God's scenario is better than that. And we'll never come into that place of satisfaction until we're doing His will and being what He wants us to be. It's good. It's pleasing. It works. Participation leads to transformation. Participation in weekend services, it is one of the most powerful things you could experience, and you can do it week in and week out. You got to have the right frame of mind. It's an hour and 5 minutes. You have to have the right, I'm coming here to celebrate, focus on God. In my own personality, I'm going to connect with God and try to experience Him in worship and allow the Holy Spirit to do stuff on the inside. And that's going to give me a hungry heart where I can receive His word. It's going to transform Him. And I'm going to go out. It's going to be a want to. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have strength to take God's word and put it into practice. Participation leads to transformation. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.